Okay, let's start out with the problem of the day. Again, how many people think they sort of got dynamic programming? One person, okay? That's a good yield. How many people think they may have gotten a little bit? A few. How many people got nothing? Completely clueless. Most people. Let's look at another, again, once you see the trick, okay, it's something that that it's not that hard, but it takes a while to see the trick. So this is the last example that I'm going to give you guys. Question, any questions? Or last example of a problem I'm going to give you on dynamic programming. So maybe it's your last chance to see the trick easily. There's actually, when we get the graph algorithms, there's going to be a couple of algorithms with a similar flavor. But let's try to figure this one out, because this is actually a doable one. Okay, if you stop and think about it. Says that we are given three strings of characters, X, Y, and Z, and we say that Z is said to be a shuffle of strings X and Y, if and only if it can be formed by interleaving characters in such a way that we maintain the left to right ordering of the characters of the string. So this says that so that CH... Okay, yeah, there's a lot of discussion. I don't know what that's about. Questions? Okay. So it says here, show that, the first example was just to sort of see, make sure we understand what the problem is. So that C-A-C-H, how do you spell it? O. C-O-H.
I-L-A.
P-T-S. E-S. Is a shuffle of chocolate and chips. How do you spell chocolate? I guess I don't even know. Okay, how do you spell chocolate? C-H-O-C. And chips I can do. Okay, so how is this a shuffle of it? Let's figure it out. You want to work from left to right or right to left? Let's try to figure this thing out. Okay, left to right, but I mean, I can either consider all the strings from left to right or all the strings from right to left. Okay? If you read Arabic or Hebrew, you could solve this problem also. Okay? It's not really a difference. Okay? So what would we say here? Which C is this C belong to? Looks like it doesn't. But let's say that this is string X and this is string Y. Let's just figure out what we've got. Let's say, so we agree that there's two C's, there's no question about it. That this could be either an X or a Y. So let's just do that. Now there's an H. Which H does that come from? Does it matter or does it not matter?
It does matter.
Does matter, right? Which one could it be from? Has to be from chocolate. Why? Because you have to have an L coming from someplace. If you didn't take this H, you couldn't get the, you know, if you took this H, you wouldn't be able to get that O. So what do we have here? You're going to say that this is going to be an XX. And now we've got, this is taken care of, right? Sure. Now where's the CO coming from? Pretty clearly also is coming from the X's, right? Where's the H coming from? Y. I can see these two are taken care of. Now I've got an L. Where's that coming from? That's an X. Then it has an A. There's no doubt that's an X. It has a Y. And then I think it's determined, right? Because it's the only X. This is only an X. That's only in Y. Does everybody agree that that can be shuffled? And do we want to go through the example to show that another one cannot be shuffled? Okay, or does everybody agree that what this example proves is you cannot arbitrarily break ties? Does everybody agree with that? That's what this H business showed. Up here, we had two H's at our disposal. Here, for the two C's, it didn't matter which one we picked first. But for which H we picked, made it difficult, right? So does anyone now want, now let's say I give you three strings, and I want to ask, is Y, Z the shuffle of X and Y? How can we find this out? Okay, any ideas for an algorithm? Yes. Start from which end? The, yeah? I see. You want to say start at the end. What do I know about the last character? Okay, which string did it come from? It either came from this string or that string. In this case, it had to have come from this string because they were the same, right? They were, there's only one match. What if there were two matches, though? What do you do then? Okay, check the character before that and then see which one it is. Let's see, yes. You could think of it as starting from your right. You could do this from this, you know, and read it from right, left to right instead of right to left. But I like actually thinking about these from right to left. Why? Because we start to get the whiff of something like a recurrence, right? That deleting this thing is going to leave us with a smaller problem. And that's what I want to be doing here if I'm doing dynamic programming. Okay, is there any big difference? Like, you know, again, if I was reading this in Hebrew or Arabic, I'd be deleting that one, but I'm not. Okay? Any questions? So, could someone give me a recursive algorithm to test whether this is a shuffle? Okay? Forget about dynamic programming. Give me a recursive algorithm or recurrence relation. Okay? Any ideas? Yeah? Right? Check the two characters at the end. I want to do this recursively. You're not saying checking this. Are you, is this going to be recursive? Sure, I'm hearing you right, but I don't completely understand. Okay, I hear you say something, find the longest match and then do something. Longest match doesn't necessarily have any meaning. Okay, to me, it's what I'm immediately thinking. I want to let my recursion figure out if there's a longest match. So how might, yes, what do we...
I check on the last one.
Yeah. Right.
If this one is, and then I check the next, follow the other one, check the next one also, keep that string from here. Otherwise, and then string, the recursive change to the other string from the same.
Okay, let's look at this and see, okay, that now I may or may not be here. There's a hint here. Dynamic programming matrix should be Boolean, not numeric. I don't know if that's enough of a hint, but we can read it. Let's think what I might do. How I might do this. I am going to want to define a recursive function that is going to say, it says, it looks like it says Boolean. What is the Boolean? Why is it Boolean? Why do we care? Why is it a Boolean and not a numeric value, yeah? You want to figure out, okay, I want to say, let's let shuffle Q I, J, K equal true if x sub 1 dot 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 I and y from 1 dot 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 j can be shuffled to z 1 dot dot k. Okay, let's think about this. Okay, yes?
They use a black marker.
Trouble is, you always ask me that, and the black marker is getting weak. So let's try that.
Hey, by the way, you're saying they should buy another black marker, and I'll try to work on that over break.
So what would be the other thing? True. If the first I characters of X and the first J characters of Y can be shuffled to form the first K characters of Z. Okay? Else, false. Okay? What is the value of this function that I'm interested in that would answer my question? If I could magically compute this function, would this function tell me the answer of whether X and Y could be shuffled to Z? What are you really asking then? Shuffle Q is a function that will tell us of the first I characters of X and the first J characters of Y shuffleable to the first K characters of Z. Yeah?
Okay, just let I be the X word, K be the Y word.
You really hunger to know what is shuffle Q of, I think, what is it, N? M and N plus N. Isn't that right? If I could, you, isn't it equivalent, the question of whether or not they can be shuffled? Does everybody see that as I've defined it, the question of whether X and Y can be interleaved to Z is exactly the same as whether the first I characters of N characters of X plus the first N characters of Y can be interleaved to form the first N plus M characters of Z. Does everybody agree with that? If not, this is what we have to ask us, why? Okay. Is this a restatement of your problem in terms of this function? Why do I call it shuffle Q? Okay, it's sort of a, I guess, an old Lisp programming convention, where a Q is sort of a binary predicate. It's a question, true or false. Okay, so when I have named functions, if they end up in true or false, I usually have the name end in Q. Okay, so the function Susie Q would be true only if the input was Susie, I guess, something like that. Okay, that's confusing, never mind. The important thing here is to see, though, that I have reduced our question to solving this function. Can you now tell, any questions about, how do people see that? Is either, this is very, very simple, so if you're not seeing it, it's because you're, you know, we're very confused. Does everybody see that the answer to, is this true, where this function is defined to have this meaning, is exactly the same as the problem we're asking? How many people see that? How many people don't see that? Okay? Why is this the case? What is the problem asking us? It says, decide whether or not Z is a shuffle of X and Y. Right? That's what the problem is asking us. Given X, Y, and Z, is Z the shuffle of X and Y? Well, what's this saying? Here's a function that is true if the first N characters of X and the first Y, N characters of Y shuffles to the entire contents, if all of X and all of Y shuffle to the entire contents of Z. This is exactly the same problem. Okay, yes?
Why are there three arguments to the function? Because won't the third argument always be the first plus the second?
That's an excellent observation. So we really don't need three arguments here, do we? Does everybody agree that the only interesting shuffle values, how many characters of Z are going to be taken up by the shuffle of I characters of X and Y characters of J? I mean, J characters of Y. I plus J, so we don't even need this parameter, do we? Okay, so you're 100% right. So we'll make that there. We'll end K to be I plus J. Okay? And now it looks a little simpler, maybe. Okay? So how do we now, does Does everybody, so any debate now, but that computing this is equivalent to the computing hour problem? Any guy who can see it, you can see this now. Yes? You agree, you see it. Any questions? Okay? Now, how do we compute this? How do we compute whether the first IJ plus J character, I characters of the first string and J characters of the second string, are a potential shuffle of the first I plus J characters of Z? Okay? Yeah? Okay, so how can we do this? Why can we write out what shuffle is? Let's try black again. No, this isn't popular. Shuffle Q of IJ. I want to claim the basic idea should be this. Suppose if X sub I equals Z sub I plus J, what does that mean? What is that case, that clause testing? If the last term of Z could be made up, it basically matches the last character of X, right? If this is true, under what conditions can we shuffle from I to J? Then, basically, we want to know what is shuffle Q of I minus 1, comma, I minus, excuse me, 1, comma J. If this is true, and this is true, then what do we know? If it is true that the last character of X matches the last character of Z, and if we chop the last character off of X, and then ask if the I minus 1 characters here and J characters here shuffle, then I claim the whole string shuffles up to this point, right? Everybody see this? This is by definition. Okay? If this is true, then we return true. Is there any other condition under which shuffle Q can be true? What is that? If YJ equals Z sub I plus J. And what? Shuffle Q, I comma J minus 1, then what? Is there any other way to make it true? No, there isn't. So what is it? Else, false. This, I claim, is the solution. Okay? Coupled with a special boundary case that shuffle Q sub 0, 0. What's shuffle Q of 0, 0? That's true, right? Does everybody agree that the shuffling the empty string to the empty string gives us the empty string? But this is really the entire solution. Okay, so let's think about this and see. Is there anybody here? How do you really sort of understand why this works? How you don't understand why this works? Or have any questions about it? Yeah? Question?
This is. How do you get from here to the Boolean matrix?
Well, what is the Boolean matrix here? What is the name of my Boolean matrix here, if I want to think of it like this? Okay? Here, this is a recursive function, right? But what do you think my Boolean matrix should be? What should my Boolean matrix store? Yeah?
Whether or not
Right, so why don't I define a matrix? Let's say that in this case, instead of calling this shuffle Q, let's call this shuffle M, okay? You guys want a matrix? There, you've got a matrix, okay? And we'll set that shuffle M sub ij is equal to this. What is that saying? Let's stop and think. Okay? Now I'm going to say the shuffle I to j, to compute what shuffle q of ij is, I am going to do it by looking up in a table the shuffle q of these smaller values, right? Everybody agree with that? And this is going to be in a smaller value. So these are smaller values. The indices are strictly smaller, right? So how might I do this now? I've got an array here, a matrix, that is n by m. What values here can I fill in? I can find out this one shuffle with one, this one zero shuffle we know. There's one shuffle with one. You can figure that out and store it in here. From that, you can figure out 1 and 2, 1 and 3. Let's fill in the values of this table, okay, so that we always have the smaller values that we're looking for. Yeah?
And we're already thinking n times 1, so is that really the best way to
do this? This is going to run in how much time is this going to take? Just to fill in the table is n times m. How much is the total algorithm? There's n times m cells here. How much work are we doing to fill in a cell? What do we do to fill in this cell? We take a look at, does a character match and look it up in a table? Does a character match and look it up in a table? How much time does it take per cell? Constant, right? One. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 1. Okay? So it's constant times m cells, right? This algorithm runs in order n times m times. Okay, is that efficient? Well, unless you can give me a faster one, I will call that efficient. It's not exponential, is it? Okay, so this is the most efficient way to do it that I know of. Okay? Any questions about that? But the important thing to see here is that it's basically just my recursive program. All I've got to do is to make sure that I store these results rather than looking it up. Okay? That's the key idea. The recurrence is the key idea. Once you see the recurrence, you're almost there. All that remains is you have to store up these intermediates. You have to basically make sure that since the answer to this is depending upon the answer of smaller things. Let's look at our table to be precise. Which two values, here's I, here's j, which two values is m sub ij depending upon? Where are they in the table? I minus 1 is up here, j minus 1 I is over here, right? So long as you fill in the cells in such a way that the two previous ones are already there, it will take constant time to fill in each cell. Do you agree with that? So what would be a legal order to fill in these cells? Let's think about this for a second. Suppose, let's say, I give you 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's say I want to fill in all this matrix. Originally, I filled in the case that what was the basis case that we had here? Basically, filled in 0, 0. We said that was true, right? Now we want to know, do the first I characters? What about I 0? Let's say where so this is j equals 0. Can we figure out whether j is 0 and I is 1? The answer is yes, if the first character matches Z, then that plus this will give us this value, right? So we can fill in that value. We're free to fill in this value now, this value, this value. Because this depends only on, at the boundary case, only upon the previous value there. This depends only on the previous value here. Once we've got these columns, row and columns, we can fill in this. Now what can we fill in next? We can fill in this, or we can fill in that, or we can fill in this. You paint it as you wish. So long as the two neighbors are already there, we can look them up. Right? Does everybody see that there's lots of possible fill-in orders such that we have the properties that we want? Okay? And any one of those fill-in orders will work. We could fill in along rows. We could fill in along columns. We could even fill in along diagonals, I think. Okay? Yes?
Should we fill it in before we run this method? Or do we do it as...
Filling it in is this method. This is telling you how to fill it in, right? Let's think about what it's telling you. Okay? It's giving you a way to fill it in. What is the value of the 0, 0 cell we said was true, right? What is the value of the 1, 0 cell? What is it? It's, does the appropriate X character match? If that's true and the smaller value, which happens to be true, yes, it would be true. Otherwise, it would be false, right? Is this cell going to be true or false? Well, it depends upon the appropriate character, whether it matches the appropriate character of Z and the value of that, right? So this recurrence is telling you how to fill in those cells. Filling the cells is simply using this formula that we worked out. Yes?
But this starts from the biggest and incrementally goes down. It's not starting from zero.
Well, what it is it's telling you for every value how to do it in terms of slightly smaller values, right?
But we have to go back and calculate the
smallest. Oh, you have the smallest value, right? So the way I think about it, I understand the point of confusion, but it's not a hard thing to see. The recurrence is conceptually thought of as I want to know what's going to happen down here, right? But in reality, what it's telling you is the value of this depends upon those two cells next to it, right? And that's true for every cell in the matrix, right? The value of any cell in the matrix. What's the value of this cell? Depends upon that and that. So we can compute it immediately, soon as we add those neighbors. Right? Does everybody see that? The recursion, I agree, if you call this globally, it will go from the back and do its, you know, blah, 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 blah. But the way that once you have a recurrence, what it also really tells you is given a small value, how do you find the small value? How do you find the next largest value? And from those, how do you find the next largest values? So you can use the same formula from filling in the matrix. Does everybody see that? That's the observation that's important. Okay? Any questions? Any people sort of see why that's working? Any questions about it? Okay? So, you know, we use this basic trick of defining the recurrence from end to beginning, but then realize that to evaluate it, in fact, we can evaluate it now that we have the recurrence, since it holds for all cells, we can fill it in from the small immediately because we already have the basis cases, and then work out and propagate from there. Any questions? Any questions at all? Yes? Where do I put the operation? Okay. Let me now write this as do loops. Okay? We originally wrote this as a recurrence. You're saying, I want do loops. That's what you're telling me. Okay? So let's write a do loop version of this.
For I equals 1, 2, n.
for J equals 1 to M. What did I say? Shuffle M. So if IJ is equal to, I'll do the logic thing. If I do this as logically, it could be equal to this if X sub I equals Z sub I plus J. And shuffle M sub I minus 1 J. Or Y sub J equals Z sub I plus J. And shuffle M, I, J minus 1. Once I have, this is my do loops. And all I have to do is initialize shuffle M sub 0, 0 is throw. And shuffle M minus 1, anything is false. And shuffle M, X, anything minus 1 is false. Right? Because somehow, just to make sure I don't have the bound. The reason for this last part is just a special case where I'm at the top of my matrix. There's only one possibility, right? In general, I can go either up or across. When I'm banging against the end of the matrix, I can only go one of the two ways. That's what this is supposed to enforce. But this is now the do loop. Does everybody see that this do loop calculation is computing exactly what I wanted my recurrence to do? With the beauty that the values I need, because the indices are smaller, are already comfortably sitting in the matrix. That is the beauty of this. Any questions? Does everybody sort of see that this is basically all that this is doing? So make sure you understand the recurrence. Make sure you understand the do loops. They're the equivalent transformations here. Any questions? Okay. Last chance. Any questions? Questions?
Wouldn't it be the same amount of time? I mean, in practice, it wouldn't necessarily be less. Wouldn't it be the same amount of time if you did that respect? If you just pull the table and first, it would be the
same. Well, okay. One way to think about it, another way to think of dynamic programming, which some people find easier, okay, is maybe what you're thinking about, okay, if you're being precise, okay? One way to think about it is suppose I had my recursive calls, again, it's gotten a little bit mucked up here because I've made various changes, but suppose that your recursion, you had the kind of a tabled recursion idea. When you know to compute the value of this, you say it's going to be the process of this and this. If it's in the table, don't compute it again. If not, go and recur. If not, go and recur. If not, go and recur. Oh, here I have it. If you do it that way, that will be doing exactly the same computation that we have here. Okay? You will still only be using an element one, you know, basically dividing it up, and you're not going to use it until you actually have elements filled up. It would still take the same time so long as you don't do the same computation more than once, which if you check in the table before you compute it, will do the job. Okay? But I find that a little harder to analyze than this version. Does anyone want to tell me why this version is order n times m? I think this is pretty easy to see why it is n times m. Why? It goes from n times m. Okay? So that's why I like this way of thinking about it. Okay? I've specified my evaluation order. There's no magic stuff that is happening now. Okay? Whereas I agree with you with a
sort of tabling strategy. You stick things in and know not when to look at them. You don't specify the order, it would still have that property. But you got to be careful to make sure you know what you're doing. Yeah. Yeah.
So you write that.
Yes. So shuffle end, this is a matrix call now. There's not a subroutine, there's no recursive call now. This is storing this Boolean value. This and this, or this and this, gets stored in that table. This is explicitly writing it through an array. There is no recursion now. Everybody see that? No recursion here. I conceptually stuffed my recurrence into this approach. Yes. Okay, now you want to actually figure out the shuffle. Well, what information do I need to figure out when the shuffle is? Right, so basically what I'm going to want to store here is which way. So now basically X or, you know, which way, X or Y sub IJ, which is going to be X if it's here, if this was true, and Y if this is true, right? And nothing if neither of them were true, right? That would give me enough information to then do reconstruct it going backwards. How would I reconstruct it going backwards? When I looked at my table here, the last match is described here, how I aligned the whole string with the whole string. By looking up at X or Y table here, that will tell me what was the last thing I did. Did I match an X or a Y? That's going to tell me, did I march up or did I march over? Right? Now that I know that, I can now figure out what was my move before that. Did I march up or march over? So that's how I would reconstruct the order if I wanted. Okay? Any questions? Yes? Okay, so you want to fill up the table here. Okay, fine.
I am game.
What, let's try some short thing to shuffle. What would be a good thing to shuffle? 0, 1, 1, 0. Let's say that that's X, that's Y, right? Is that short enough or you want a longer one? Let's now shuffle. What can we shuffle this thing as? What do you want Z to be? Let's say we do it as 0, 1, 1, 0. That's a little too cute. Let's try 0, 1, 0, 1. Okay? Is this possible?
Well,
let's see if we figure out that that's not possible. Is it possible?
X, Y, Y,
X. So it is possible. Let's see if we can figure out that it's possible. Okay? So this is now interesting. Okay? So what is the goal here? I want to now know, let me build this table here. I've got empty string, just to be precise, 0, 1, this is X, empty string, 1, 0, this is Y, right? And I wonder if true or false doesn't match. Does epsilon, and on Z, we're going to write it in big letters, 0, 1, 0, 1. Does the empty string match with the empty string? Does 1 and the empty string match? Let's think about this. How would we know this? Well, is it possible that is, does the first 0, does, we made it, there's only two possibilities. We have, in this case, there's only one possibility, right? Because we could not have peeled it off the X, right? We could only have peeled it off the Y, because we're only moving along the Y here, right? X is still the empty string. So does the first character of Y match the first character of Z? Is the other branch possible? No, because we're at the boundary point. I will claim that this is false. Does everybody see why that's false? Is it possible to align now? Let's think about it. 1, 0. Can 1, 0 match this? Well, the 0 does not match the 1. That's enough grounds for it to be false, right? Let's go fill in some other ones. Does 0 and epsilon work? Yes, why? The 0 matches this, and when we peel off the 0, we go marching up to here for true, right? So that's a true. What? Well, this says it's the first character of X. This is the first character of X and no characters from Y. Yes, I can match the Z up to here. Yes.
This is how this method is going to go.
Why not? I'm having I goes from 1. I starts out, I went from 1, or 0, up here, I. J is go ruffling through, J, J, J. How is this going to fill it in? J, 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 J. This is exactly, if you want, I will do it exactly. I'm going to march through it just like this. Okay? So what is the answer here? Let's stop and think about it. Okay? What is the possibilities for I and J? Now I've got two possibilities, so this is now the general case. Okay? What are my choices? First of all, I could end it on an X. This is going to be how many characters into the string? 2. I'm ending 2 characters into the string, right? Is the 2 character, if I end on an X, it has to be a 0. Can I end on an X? No, because the character here was a 0. I can't end on an X, right? This is, what is this cell? This is cell 1, 1, right? Does everybody agree? That means I'm now matching the second character in Z. Could the second character have been a from the X string? No, so that possibility isn't it. Could the second character be from the Y string? Yes. But is that enough? No. I have to now check, okay, it's if I match it with the Y string, then what's left? Okay? Let me make sure I get this thing right. Okay, is it this direction? I have now decided that I'm going to take the Y, the last character of Z is going to match this character. So I delete that character and move over. Right? So my claim is that this is doable if this cell is true. Does everybody agree with that? That it is true if the second character matches Y, and this is basically saying that the first character... Let's just double check something here. These are indices, right? This is the string content. This is the indices. 0, 1, 2. The problem was that I have an outlet. Can I take from an a binary string to an AB string? Would that make people happier? AB, BA. What does this mean? If this was X, that meant that this was going to be A, B, B, A. And what is the string that I want to make? Is it ABBA?
No.
A, B, A, B, right? So what is this now saying here? Does the second character, maybe that if it's going to be on the Y that I take this thing from, then I have to know that when I delete that character, everything up to that matched. And this I claim is going to be true, true. This is true. Is it possible to realize AB matching the first character of each? The answer is yes. Everybody agree with that? Any questions here? Yeah? Okay, well, let's think logically. Let's let this decide what it is. Okay? If I'm going to shuffle, I'm right now trying to compute what? Shuffle of 1-1. That's what you're telling me, right? And which is the case? It's the case where I'm matching the Y. Right? So that means I'm deleting one from the Y column. Because that's going to be the match, and then what has to match otherwise is what gets over. So think about what we're actually doing now. If I am matching it this way, what is this saying? Yes, the B is going to be matching. I'm going to take off the B to match that last symbol. What is left for me to match? If I match the B with the Y symbol, I have an empty string left up here, right? That's the only other part of the Y that I have considered, right? That's why I move forward this way, because once I decide to match in this direction, that's basically saying I have satisfied this character, now let me move backwards. Is that clear? I know these things are hard to walk through. I find it easier to go through and think about this logically than actually do it by hand. That's why God invented computers. Okay? But did everybody see why this is with press? Yeah? Well, let's think about what going upward would mean. What is going upward saying? Okay? This cell, what does this cell mean? This cell means, can I match X equals A with Y equals B? Right? That's really what this cell is asking. What is this cell asking? Okay? This is cell 0, 1, right? This is saying, does X equal the empty string match with Y equals B? Correct? Isn't that what the meaning of the cell is? So in order to walk up with this way, the reason why you're telling me that I am matching here is I have matched this B over here. The B comes from Y, right? So if I walk up this way, this is deleting somebody from X, not from Y, isn't it? Is that what's happening when I walk up here? I'm deleting a character from X and not from Y. Okay? That's why it's not that direction. Yes?
So over here, that little star thing, it drew like an orb. So the condition for that if?
Well, let's start thing. Okay, the one that, this is an and.
That's an and.
And this, yes. And the or is realized by the fact that these are two different if statements. Right? So if the X character matches the end, and I can hack a character, and if I delete the last character from the X, what's left suffices to match the prefix, then, yes, I can shuffle up. Or, if the last character matches Y, and the last character of Z matches the last character of Y, and I can shuffle everything I get if I take off that last character of Y, that I've already done something with Y, I'm using it to match. If both of these are true, then this is true. Otherwise, there's no other way to match them, right? So the answer is false. Any questions? Let's go back here again and let's look at this one more time. So what is the value here? There's two possible ways to match it. And look, in this case, it's going to be a good thing. They're both A's, so I think both of them might apply. Right? Is it possible to match this? What's interesting is one way it is possible and one way it is not. That's what's going to be interesting. Is it possible? Let's figure this out by hand. Is it? That's what this is telling us. One way it is and one way it isn't. Now, why is that? Suppose I consider the shuffle of BA and A. And I want to make ABA. Is it possible that this A matches that A? No. Does everybody see why that is? We had to have gotten an A from someplace. This A had to have been used over here, right? So one out of those two ways is possible. Which way is it? Does everybody see what is true and what is false? Which way is the true? The true says that provided you match A and B as the two strings to form A and B, then you can use the A from here, right? You need to use this A over here. It says that if you match A and B, this and this, to form that, then that A is free. On the other hand, what is up here? This is saying, is it possible to match BA and the empty string to match AB? And the answer to that is no. So that's why that's a false and that's a true. And one way it works and one way it doesn't. Any questions? People find this enlightening enough for me to continue? Let me go through this quickly, I think. So what do we now know about this case? Is it possible to match AB and epsilon to form AB? Yes, I will claim. Why? Because we'll match the A with the A, we'll match the B with this B, and then walk up one. So this is a true, right? What about this point? This is saying I have A, B, and B. Can I match A and B, A, A, B, with an A, B, and an A, a B? No, because B is not the third match, right? It's not the third match here, it's not the third match here. This is false. So what is the big punchline here? Does this match? Well, if the last character is a B, then what? Let's just stop and think about it. If we match the last character as a B, then we have to figure out what happens with the rest of the string. And the answer is yes, it's true if we move up by matching with a B. Here, we'd be matching with the A, but we can't match with an A. So this here is going to be true, and we're done. Any questions? Yeah?
Is there any time when it'll have, like see the how there's true at the very bottom and true at the bottom, and that false?
Yeah?
The false in the first location would be true, so you have multiple options to weigh to make the pattern?
Certainly you can imagine multiple options to weigh that make the pattern. What would be such an example? Suppose, let's say, we're interleaving ah with ah. So how many ways are there to possibly do it? There's two choices here, two choices here, two choices here, two choices here. Every matrix cell in the matrix, assuming that the Z string is all A's, every square in the matrix is going to be true. And it could be true in both ways. Any questions? But this actually shows the power of dynamic programming. There are an exponential number of alignments of ah with ah to give ah. But if we're getting the actual alignments, we're not constructing all the alignments. We're saying that any way you got to here was okay. And we're going to say, we'll match this with any way that you did it. We're not explicitly constructing them all. We're basically saying that this being true means that any way you could have gotten to this point is fine. I will be showing you one of them. Okay? So why is this taking exponential time in this case? Well, again, it's still a filling each matrix for the constant number of values, right? Everybody agree it's not going to take exponential time on this versus that? It can't. It's the same thing function as before. So we still have n times m cells, and we're still spending a constant amount of time to do it. Okay? Because we only are storing, is it possible to shuffle from this to this? Not list me all possible shufflings. That would be exponential. Any questions? Any more questions about this dynamic program? Okay, so this is maybe a good example also. I would encourage you to go home and see if you can derive ABBA, okay, the music person, ABBA from some, you know, set of strings. Okay, and make sure you can walk through this and see what's happening. Any questions?
Okay, let's end on, now that we've got, now that we've got 20 minutes left for the next stuff, I'd like to move on. Any questions? Okay, so what do I want to talk about now? I want to talk about the next area of work that we're going to be doing is on, not dynamic programming, but is on something called backtracking. Okay? How many people here, so far we've been looking at designing efficient algorithms, provably efficient, big O type of things. Now what I want to do is to show you ways of doing exhaustive search efficiently. How many people here saw the eight queens problem somewhere in their lives? Did you see the eight queens problem? A few of you. How many have never seen the eight queens problem? Most of you, okay? Basically, for a certain algorithmic problems, like the one that you're going to be assigned at the end of class, okay, there is no known efficient algorithm to solve the problem exactly. Okay? In fact, if you come up with a known efficient algorithm, an efficient algorithm for solving the problem that I'm going to give you on your homework, I will mark it wrong. Okay, because it doesn't work. Okay, and I'll explain why later in the semester. Okay, there is no known efficient algorithm for it, and if there is one, you're not going to find it. Okay? So we need to find a way that we can't prove runs in polynomial time, but one that goes through all possible answers in an efficient way. Okay, so that we can solve problems by exhaustive search in a reasonable way. And the technique for doing that is something called backtracking. Okay? Now, if you took a look at, later when we get to graph algorithms, talk about depth-first search. Depth-first search and backtracking are very similar ideas. Okay? Let me show you the backtracking algorithm. I tell you, let me just show you a program to do it. Okay? Here's a program to find all subsets of a set of items. Or the subset also finds all, the program also finds all permutations of a set of items. Or this program also solves the eight queens problem. Or this program solves what your homework is. Okay? So what is this? This is a general shell of a program with a few subroutines not listed. What is it? It's a recursive program. It says backtrack, backtrack. That's recursive. What subroutines are missing? Okay? It says that is a solution is missing, process solution is missing, and construct candidates is missing. To use backtracking, at least conceptually, all that you're really doing is filling in these three subroutines. What is this doing? Let me now explain what the algorithm is doing. It is going to construct, fill in elements from a it is going to build up a solution vector depending according to the following rules.
So, my solution to my problem, I am going to model as a vector. A vector is an array, where a sub I is the first part of my solution, a sub 1 is the first part, a sub 2 is the third part. Let's say I want as my solution a permutation of three items. Okay? 3, 1, 2. Is that a permutation? So what is, are we representing the permutation? As an array, where the ith element represents the ith element of the permutation. Okay? How many permutations are there on three items? 6. How can you construct all of them in a systematic way? It's not completely obvious, right? You can't have 4i goes from 1 to n, 4j goes from 1, you know. Sometimes it's not clear how to do it. What I'm going to construct it is, I'm going to build up a solution in this matrix A, one spot at a time. K is going to tell me how many spots have already been filled in. I is just any stuff that I want to pass to these routines. Okay, maybe the size of the ultimate permutation that I want. The subroutine is a solution, checks this matrix so far, and asks me, do I have a permutation? If so, spit it out. Okay, that's basically what this says. If so, do whatever you want with that permutation, right? Otherwise, how do you do it? Well, it means that maybe we filled in the first part of our permutation. And now we're interested in the second part of our permutation. How do we fill in the second possibility? We construct all possible candidates for the second spot. If we're looking at a permutation of size 3, and the first element is 2, what are the possible candidates of this for the second spot? We could have a 1 here. We could have a 2 here. Can we have a 3 here? No, why not? We've already used it, right? So what is our basic procedure going to do? Construct a list of possible candidates for this spot. For each candidate, stick it in its spot and continue building from there. When it's finished, it will return and it will then let you try another candidate and another candidate. This procedure, I claim, will systematically go through all possibilities. Okay? And we probably need a little time to figure that out. Okay? But this is the basic procedure. Any questions? Okay, I know people may be, it's tough to switch gears at this point. Okay? So let me just try one more, let me show you one program that will help you in the a way to use this subroutine program, backtrack program, to help us with the assignment. Let's say I want to build a program to construct all possible subsets of n items. How many different subsets of n items are there? N factorial, that's how many permutations there are. How many subsets are there of n items? Okay, well, I can't do that. So let me tell, how many subsets of two items are there? Let's say A and B. How many subsets of A and B are there? 4. What are they? A, B, A, B, and what? How many subsets of three things are there? 8. Why are there 8? It's twice as many as 4, right? Why are there twice as many subsets of 3 things? Yeah?
You have 4 without the element, and then plus you have the same 4 with the element.
Yeah. A, B, A, B, no. Let me add a C on all of them. Right? So I claim there are 2 to the n subsets, right? Suppose you wanted to write a program to construct all subsets of N items, like maybe on your next programming assignment. Okay? How might you do that?
Well,
suppose we represent every subset by a vector of size n of trues and falses. Where a sub I equals true means that the ith element is in my subset. What subset does this represent? Subset 1, not 2, not 3, 4, not 5, yes, 6. Right? Does everybody agree that all possible patterns of true and false, each one describes exactly one subset? Got it? Any questions about this? Like, I don't see what you're saying now. I have a question. Explain it again. So I claim if I can construct all patterns of true and false, I can construct all subsets. Does everybody agree with that? So how can I construct all possible subsets of true and false, patterns of true and false?
I can use my backtrack procedure where I say, yes, I have a solution if I have put down n values of true and false. Right? I'm slowly going to be filling it up from left to right.
Once I have filled it up, I have n spots filled, I have a solution. What are the candidates for the ith position? What is the candidates for the ith position in my subset, in my representation? If the ith value is either true or false. True or false, right? That's what I'm doing here. Okay? What do I want to... Suppose here I want to print out a solution. Well, what's a solution? Print a parenthesis, end parenthesis. If the ith value is true, print on. This will print a nice, neat form representation of my subset. Does everybody agree? The amazing thing is... this backtrack procedure with these things are all you need to produce all subsets of n. Yes? Well, how many candidates are there for the ith position if it's true or false? True and false adds up to two possibilities. That's why I say there are two candidates there, right? But what? Well, it's because if you look over here in this part of the program, I am going to want to try every candidate in my candidates matrix array. I have to know how many there are so I don't try null pointer as a candidate. Okay? Any questions? Any questions? So I will put up on the website a link to slides for this, because this stuff isn't in the notes. Again, it's in the notes, but not in C code. You guys will probably like C code. I claim, once you understand it, this and this is all the code you need to generate subsets. Now, why do you want to generate subsets? Well, it's because of your next homework.
Okay, and this is something I want to... I'm rushing on this a little bit because I want to finish this out before break.
Okay? And let's start these things going. Start crafting around. Okay. Okay. So start passing around and collecting some light.
Okay. So what is this, what is your problem for your next homework assignment? It is a programming contest. Okay, a race for people in the class. You are going to be given your job is to write a program to solve a problem called the max cut problem. What is the max cut problem? I am giving you a bunch of pairs of numbers.
Let's say I give you, as an example, pairs of numbers, let's say 1 and 2, 1 and 4, 3, 1 and 4, 2 and 3. Okay, there are four numbers here. And we could think of this as a graph if we write it on the board. I might find it easier to talk about like this. 1, 2, 3, 4. Where are the connections? 1 goes to 2, 1 goes to 3, 1 goes to 4, 2 goes to 3. Now what I want you to do is to find a way, a subset of vertices, to separate off such that we can cut this graph and cut as many edges as possible. Suppose I consider this subset of vertices. Let's try this subset of vertices. We say that an edge is cut if one edge is in the subset and one is not. Right? Does everybody agree that if I give you a subset of a set, every pair of numbers, either both there or in the set, both there or outside the set, or both of a pair are one is in and one is out, right? Those are the only three possibilities. For any subset, we will say the size of the cut that that induces is the number of edges that get cut, in this case, 2. Your job is to find the subset that cuts the most edges. Does the subset 2, 3 cut the most possible edges? What? It cuts 2 edges, right? It cuts this edge and this edge. This edge is not cut, it's connected within the set. We say a cut is something that goes from inside to outside. Okay? Think about that. Is this the large? Oh, yeah, question.
So, if you have like 1, 2, and 1, 4, then you draw a circle around
something. Wait, so what's this? You're drawing a circle around a subset of vertices. So, what's your subset of vertices? What's your subset? You want to say, what do we think instead?
Well, I mean, like, the vertices have to be connected. Like, when I think 2
would be. No, you pick whatever vertices you want. Any subset of vertices you want. I pick 2 and 4. Now how many edges have I cut? Before I cut 2, now how many do I cut? 3, that's better. Is it possible to cut more than 3 edges? What? If I pick 1, let's put this in another color now, right? Suppose I just pick 1. The subset 1 against everybody else, how many edges does that cut? 3, right? Is it possible to cut all 4 edges? No, I claim there's no way to do it, right? There's no subset that will cut all 4 edges, right? So given a graph defined by pairs of vertices, again, I'm sorry, we'll see.
We can see the markers.
Given a graph. It could be connected, but it doesn't make any difference. Okay? Given a graph, I want you to find the cut that cuts the maximum number of possible edges. This one cuts 1, 2, 3, 4 edges. Is there a way I could have cut more? I don't really believe there is, actually. Not with this particular graph. This is my vertices. Okay? A cut is separating one set of vertices from the other, right? Your job is to find the largest cut set in a graph.
Is it just one huge thing that covers the entire graph, and we can't have more?
Well, no, whatever you think holds the entire graph. How many edges does that subset cut? Zero. Yeah?
What if you think of the subset, the circle on every single vertex?
Well, your subset is a set of vertices. So by connected, I mean every vertex is either in or out. Okay? Let's think about it this way. Okay? We have two groups of people. You want to divide this class into two groups of people, such as the people in group A hate the people in group B. Okay? You want to form two cliques in this class. So we want to say here are the cool people, and here are the angry people. Okay? And the angry people and the cool people are not allowed to talk to each other. Suppose you already had friendships among yourselves, right? Before this unfortunate schism had to stop. Well, they just say Democrats and Republicans. Democrats and Republicans. Okay? A bad thing, Democrats within